Welcome to this.
What just happened?
I was still laughing from before. Oh. From you saying you were waiting on me, which LOL, I'm always waiting on you guys to keep talking. Hey, Overflow, welcome to the Spirally Flames.
Oh, that you planned that. You've been waiting for that.
From the moment that you did that on stage, I leaned over to Brandon and said, I'm going to say welcome to the Spirally Flames.
Whatever. Can I just quickly talk about how my mind works? So I just told y'all, I practice words so I don't sound like an idiot, and I never get them right anyway. But I nailed the name of the church, which was the one I was worried about. I was like, you probably should get this name right if we're teaching on the church. The thing I did not think about was the fiery flame.
Yeah, and it's so, like a tongue twister, I guess.
When I read it in front of people, I messed it up, and I'm like, oh no. Like, there's, because you know, when you're like, there's
now I won't be able to say it right at all.
There's zero way chance I'm going back to actually be able to do this right. And so I just knew it was coming. And so then I was like, listen, I can't say it. Let's move on.
Hey, but then you brought a literal fire message. I'm not just saying that. It was such a good, you brought a fiery flame message.
Why can't I say it? Fire.
I think because the second word is flames. So I think you're just like bringing an L into it. Fiery flames.
Oh, I had a word last week.
Masculinity.
What will my word be?
I gave you a shout out second service though, because that was a good word.
Man, I heard it, man.
Masculinity.
Yeah, I can't
the
do it.
The first service, I have to say this, but it was really funny for people who weren't in there. But at one point towards the end, well, you had literally just spit fire. Like, it was such a good moment, but I guess it wasn't in your notes, because then you were like, okay, wait, where am I?
Yeah.
And then somebody in the back goes, Farley. I was like, that's trifling right there.
What I think is fun, though. It was funny, though. It was just fun. I was like, yeah. Thank you. Like,
we're in this conversation.
We're having fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
So anyways, this is really going to be a good conversation. I want to go, well, let's do a question.
Oh, I do have one, Sally.
Okay.
I have seven. But to start, here's what we, okay, so the context, we were, for some reason, just gotten our feels with 90s Christian music, or let's not say 90s, throwback Christian music.
Yeah.
So the question is for us, what is your favorite throwback Christian song?
Okay.
I got to go first.
Please.
Randomly yesterday, heard two songs that one of them completely took me back, like to my earliest memories of Liz.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's You Raise Me Up by
Casting Ground.
No.
No.
Who?
Josh Groban.
There you go.
Is it a Christian song?
Oh, gosh.
I'm pretty sure.
Why not?
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
I have no idea.
I was like,
I'm
dang,
about to Google
I'm
it.
About to check these lyrics out. I literally have seen.
I feel like it's one of those like uplifting songs that Christians applied.
Well, it sounds like most Christian radio, uplifting and encouraging.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that.
But anyway,
love.
Sorry if that offended anybody. But my actual favorite song also heard yesterday, ironically. I pulled into the driveway, hoping my car, and I'm like, Liz comes out. I'm like, babe, do you remember this? We're both getting chills. But it was Who Am I by Casting Crowns. There's just nothing like
nostalgia.
Prime Casting Crowns, that verse and that chorus, it just always gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for people listening, we just, for 15 minutes, we're playing just random Christian. And it does, it puts you back in good vibes, nostalgia, brings you back. What's yours?
I like that song. Mine, the one that I showed you guys, if you go listen to it, it is the epitome of like 90s sound.
Can't wait.
I put it on, you were like, what is this? This is terrible. But I liked it, and it was on one of the Wow CDs. Do you guys remember the Wow CDs?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 100%. The Christian version of Now.
Well, I remember worship, Wow. Right? I remember Wow for this reason. My dad, when he got saved, he thought it'd be cool to introduce like selling Christian music in the church. You know, like, so he would buy like these packets of like CDs, sell them in the church. And
He's hustling, bro.
Oh, he's hustling. And I remember seeing Wow and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the one that we had, because there was just one that we had that my mom would play in the car all the time. And that's where I like,
yeah,
you know, learned a lot of these songs. So yeah. One of my favorite ones on there, I can't remember what year it was. It may have been 2002. Wow. A song by Jennifer Knapp called Breathe On Me. And so it was just beautiful. It was one of those songs I was like, oh, this sounds like the music that I like to listen to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's about Jesus. And it didn't sound, at least in my little bratty teenage mind, it was like, well, this sounds cool. It doesn't sound cheesy, you know? But looking back, the cheesy ones were the good ones.
They were the good ones. Funny how it changes. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a DC Talk guy.
Oh, okay.
I love DC Talk, that whole album.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You like rap music.
I do. That was the first CD that I ever bought. That was when CDs were somewhat new, if I remember right, at least for me.
Is that Jesus Freak?
Mm-hmm. Jesus Freak. Yeah. There's a lot of them. But you forget till you go look at the album and be like, I know all those songs. Shane and Shane, love Shane and Shane. Their voices are just amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Did you realize that How Great Is Our God is from 2004?
Yeah.
And that's when most of Casting Crowns, like those are the,
yes.
But How Great Is Our God doesn't seem like it's that old.
But yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yes. To y'all?
I'm looking at it right now.
Sometimes that doesn't feel like an 80s song to y'all.
I guess the way we do it, no.
Okay.
But if I listened to the original version.
If you had trivia'd me about How Great Is Our God, I would have been like, that was definitely made in the 80s.
No. I knew it was an early 2000s song just because of Chris Tomlin. And
yeah. Indescribable.
Well, you've grown up in all this too. To me, I didn't listen to Christian music. Like that mm-hmm. Wow CD is the only Christian music that I listened to.
Yeah. I was before Apple subscription on Apple. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was my dad buying CDs all the time.
Yeah.
And our radio in our house, it had the capacity of 50 mm-hmm. CDs inside.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy stuff.
I remember those. I remember I used to have one when I was like six. You had to go to the back of the trunk.
Yeah.
Put them in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The car that I drove in high school had a VHS player in the trunk, but it had a screen.
What?
For the second row, but it was like a VHS player, and you had to like change the VHS in the trunk.
Times have changed.
Sure y'all remember the song, Does Anybody Hear Her by Casting Crowns?
Yes. Yes.
No, but why do I feel teary-eyed? Like,
yes. No, that song will get you teary.
No. Yeah. I've never even heard that.
I forget the context of that verse.
We'll listen to it after the pod.
Yeah. I can't. I'm too emotional.
Oh, man. That's actually a good one.
I also gave awful. Show notes a shout out. So.
I heard that. Erica Whitworth was behind me, and she was like, if you know, you know.
That's funny. That's an inside joke because those are new to me too.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, but, well, they're new to me too.
We should put some song links in our show notes.
Let's do that. Okay, we'll save for the show notes.
Wow,
very good. Well, let's jump ahead to story time because we have stories like, oh, the Lord is so good, and I just continue to be. I left here yesterday after talking with someone. Been walking through a season with her and. She just shared some updates in her story, and I just left in awe of the Lord, almost kind of broken, like in a good way. Like, mm-hmm. Lord, continue to break me when I think that I know everything about you.
Wow.
And when I think that my faith is so big, because it's not. Like, the way that she spoke about what the Lord is doing in her life and in her specific story, she has such a big faith, and it just highlighted, girl, like, me, girl.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing. You got the you ain't even to a mustard seed yet. You know, like, oh gosh. So it was. I just love hearing what the Lord is doing. So I want to hear. I want to hear some stories.
How powerful is testimonies like everywhere?
Yes.
You know, yes. Hearing them, saying them, like continue to share your testimonies. I'm debating whether I talk about a TV or I talk about a drummer.
Both.
Yeah,
both,
you know, both, because both. We like to highlight the big things, but it's even in the small details.
Well, let's talk about TVs then.
Let's do it.
Yo, so real quick, this is a pretty funny story, but we on Saturday night watching basketball, and for some reason our TV, 50% of the left side just started to completely discolor.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell it was like an LED problem because it wasn't like a crack, or it was just a straight line down. Yeah. Everything on the left was super, like, I don't know how to say, just hyper colored.
Mm-hmm.
And everything on the right was kind of like somewhat normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, we got to buy a TV. you know, mm-hmm. it's terrible. And commonly, you, was that even a word?
Yeah.
what you do is you get a bigger TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. And so we end up like buying a TV like through the Best Buy app. We'll get ready to pick it up mm-hmm. Sunday. Well, as I'm watching TV, I'm not noticing, just in my man brain, I'm like distracted by the mm-hmm. TV. I start hearing Liz praying for the TV. And I'm like, is she really doing this? I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I like join her in prayer. I put my two little hands up and I'm like, yes, Jesus. And I wasn't messing with her. I was genuinely like, all right, Lord, like if this is the faith she has, uh-huh. go for it. And then she looks at me, she's like, are you making fun of me? And I'm like, no, I promise. Like, just keep praying. I believe in this. Uh-huh. And so she gives her prayer, you know. The next morning is Sunday. And I've been really just feeling the word prayer, pray, like mm-hmm. very heavily in my spirit for a minute now. And for our diva, we talked about prayer mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And I kid you not, right before first service, my wife texts me a picture of our TV. Like completely healed. Like, uh-huh. it's normal.
Had a demon. You know, exercising a demon, bro.
Legit. Delivered that thing. And I'm like, this is amazing. Because uh-huh. I want, like, at least in my life, I want to know about the big, like, if you want to say big, powerful testimonies mm-hmm. of the miracles of the Lord. But even in the little things such as a TV, yeah. like, Lord, be like even being faithful in that is like, wow, thank you, Lord, for just being that loving.
Yeah.
And, but again, my wife views this as, all right, now we don't have to spend $700 on this. Let's spend $700 on something else. Yeah.
You so saved $700. Yeah. So like, now you can go spend it.
That's what you call women wisdom, mm-hmm. you know?
And you just go with it.
Yeah, what are you going to say other than, sure?
What?
No, whatever. So, that money was gone. You had another TV in the car already. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. And then my second story, we had our NRS worship night, Sunday night. And our NRS music director, Chase, he had invited a friend of his to play drums. And so he came hang out. We had a great time. Really good. Dude, I played drums very well. But just to highlight the story, like NRS is, you know, it's in revival mode. It's mm-hmm. hungry and thirsty for the presence of the Lord, for Jesus himself. And during worship, there was just this moment of like eruption, mm-hmm. you know? And this guy grabs the mic like next to his drums to talk to me. And he's like, I've never seen this in my entire life. He's like, where we as a team, we thought we were ending a moment to go into the next song. Mm-hmm. And the students like literally just roared and continue to sing this song that we thought we were done, yeah. you know? And he's just like in awe. You know, you could tell the spirits in the room. Mm-hmm. And then for the next 30, 45 minutes, you know, we did get off our set list, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'd rather do what the Lord wants mm-hmm. rather than my own agenda. Mm-hmm. We end the night. It was glorious. It was epic. And it was just some powerful moments.
It really was.
And I then noticed the drummer's like trembling. Mm. Like he's just trembling from the presence of the Lord. So I go over there, I pray for him, I lay hands on him. And he just starts to cry. And he's like, I've never seen anything like this. You know? I've never seen anything. And whether it was church or student ministry, yeah. he's like, regardless, like, these people worship. Mm-hmm. He says, your team, you guys are talented. Mm. But you guys love the Lord, you know? And then I got another text today from him just like, man, just in awe of everything. Mm-hmm. And the little that was poured into and just, you know, 2-3 hours into his life, he was just like, wow. So
that's so cool, man.
Yeah, it is really cool. So I think that to highlight this, it's the reality of like even when we have guests, yeah. you know, like our family in Christ mm-hmm. outside of our local church.
Yes.
When they come in from their norm, there is something special happening here.
Wow.
You know, but it could be so easy for any of us to just yeah. act like this is normal.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
You know?
Or miss it,
yeah.
I mean, that that's part of the problem sometimes is we don't. Because we are starting to get used to it, and that's mm-hmm. not a bad thing. But we can't we can't miss it and think that what's happening at this specific church is, as you say, normal. It's not how I grew up. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord is clearly moving, and he's clearly doing great things, and he's focusing our eyes on him. And a lot of churches miss that.
Yeah.
And again, that has nothing to do with us. It's all about him. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it's fun to be a part of right now. There's a lot of energy, a lot of growth, a lot of restoration. And then I love how we're all on the same mission without mm-hmm. even having to say the mm-hmm. mission. Everybody knows Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Focus on Jesus. That's what we'll do.
Oh, I love that. A couple of thoughts that I had from NRS, because I don't get to go to it a lot, but I was just super grateful to be there and to witness what the Lord did. It was mm-hmm. beautiful. And one of the things that I love is even walking in, it's not the biggest student ministry. It's not 200 kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're probably like, 40 to 50?
Mm-hmm.
I'm overwhelmed by the depth.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be the biggest, and other, you know, there are lots of big churches around and big churches in mm-hmm. Charlotte, and they have big student things where they may have hundreds of kids. And not that those kids don't love Jesus. I'm just highlighting, I don't care if we have 5, 15, but their hunger for the Lord and the light that they shine is so bright. It just kind of blew my mind. I don't know. It's just there were maybe 40 to 50. And almost every time there's some sort of altar call, like multiple kids come down. So there were like 9 or 10 kids who gave their lives to Jesus on Sunday.
Yes.
It's amazing.
There's a genuine difference too when you see the authenticity of a middle schooler or high schooler get on their knees.
Like, yes.
I know a lot of people know that age group well enough. We were there one time at one point in our own lives, but you can't force a kid to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's their own decision. And to see a lot of these students like on their knees for almost a full hour, completely, literally in their own words, not just following the lyrics of a song, in their own words, in their own adoration, they are worshiping the King.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, kudos to student ministry leader.
Yes.
Who's leading the way, paving the way, and so articulate and defining what it looks like mm-hmm. and what it means. So not just preach it, but then also, I'm going to get off this stage. We're going to worship for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or we're going to worship for the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not budging.
Yep.
He's right there.
Yep.
So just seeing that, this has been very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually have conversations with them, it's not bluff.
Yes.
There is, again, depth. You know, like two of my favorite moments this entire semester was a testimony night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Me and Curtis and Brandon, we're just undone.
Yeah.
Because you can take, sometimes you can look at somebody and assume, he don't know, or he's too childish or childlike. The moment they open their mouth, they're like, life.
Mm-hmm.
There is life.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. One kid quoting like literal passages of the Bible and saying, this is what I've learned this year.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa.
It's amazing.
God has definitely got a plan for that, for those students. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, I do too, but I think churches, we get caught up in size equals health and mm-hmm. size is mm-hmm. good. And maybe God's, I don't know, I'm just thinking, maybe God's holding back size at NRS right now because he's pouring into these kids because he's got a purpose.
Yeah,
those 40, 50
they're just kids, so. When I see our students, it highlights to me the truth that they were born for this time.
Yeah.
They're so bold in every way, and you know, we thought maybe when we were in middle school mm-hmm. or high school, we were bold, and for our time, we were. But for mm-hmm. their time, you can see, and so I think that's exactly what it is. And so, in that same vein, like they're going to school and they're bringing kids to church. There was a girl who was brought to church by another girl who comes to NRS regularly. And she has been here for 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks. And the first week that she came, she did bring a Bible, but it was like this Catholic Bible she had gotten as a baby, but hasn't been taught the word or anything like that. Knows nothing really of God or Jesus, but came with her friend, started asking one of her leaders, questions and just you know, kind of hungry to know more about God and understand Jesus more.
Wow.
Came and then asked, hey, can I come to that NRS thing? And what she was referring to was the last NRS that we're talking about right now.
Last night, yeah.
She came, and before music started, worship started, Liam had taught a really powerful message. I mean, you had a lot to say about it, Alex, taught this powerful message, and then he even said at one point he didn't know if he was going to do an altar call, but he had felt in his spirit to pray specifically for this one girl who's been kind of seeking. And then he did an altar call. This girl wept the rest of the night, and she gave her life to Jesus. Just totally, you know, again, undone in his presence, undone for him, undone by him. Like, it's
you can't mistake the presence of the Lord.
You can't. You absolutely can't. So it was all around. I mean, it was just such joy, such joy. And what a way to like end the semester and to kick off summer too. But I love what the Lord is doing in our church and our students.
I know we're about to transition, but I would also like, as long as it's like somewhat permissible for like the upcoming semester, but man, I'd love to see like parents just got to sneak in like and worship with us too. Yeah. Like, it's special, man. Like, just peep in. Like, sometimes if you're in the car line, you're wondering what's happening in that room.
Yeah.
Or why is it taking longer? Every Sunday, we say we're going to end at 7 or last night at 8. And, like, there's, I know there's going to be, like, quarter after till these kids get out. And it's not because we're intentionally holding them on. It's like, how do you stop them?
Exactly.
It's not any of the quote-unquote adults, like forcing some agenda.
And it's not pointless games. Not that that's a bad thing either. Yeah. But they're worshiping.
They're literally worshiping. Like,
you tried leading worship and trying to stop a song and go to the next song. They will not let you.
They won't let you.
They love to worship. And it's just, it's amazing. Mm. It's amazing. So those are a couple of just my thoughts over the weekend. I also want to say, I guess, part of my story time. This is, again, me of little faith. Last week, we had a very intense conversation about marriage. Even after I left, you know, even Ryan was like, are you good with that? You asked me a couple of times because I guess I didn't seem very settled on it. But I just was, you know, transparent in that I had notes, articles, things that we're going to get to. And I was just worried that we didn't get to them. Like, did we miss something?
Wow.
Because we took this total unexpected journey in talking to marriage. Man, the feedback from last week's episode on marriage has been unreal. And it's just reminded me, like, it's okay. Like, this is, we're not just following the Holy Spirit in other places. Yeah. And then it's like, we don't follow him here in the podcast. You know, it's kind of what it highlights to me. It's okay. And I think the Holy Spirit led us in a direction that a lot of our people needed to hear.
Yeah.
And so the feedback has been unreal this week of things that people have literally been able to implement in their marriage to take a next step of being the sword in their spouse's life, or, you know, calling them to better, higher, and not just women to men, men to women as well. Like, that we do sharpen one another.
Yeah.
So I'm just really thankful in my heart, you know, and this is a theme in the podcast for me, the ones I feel the most scared of or insecure about, the feedback is always like, oh my gosh, I needed that. And it's like, thank you, Lord, for like using just little old us, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, 100% every day. For real, like walking out on Sunday, it's like, what? What?
Yeah.
It's just amazing that we get to do what we get to do.
You know, it's very, very mind-blowing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things in life is seeing people that pour into us and they've set the roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that have stepped on like landmines and has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, in our hopeful like wisdom, we take that as, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the podcast, it's like, it's really just sharing all of our own like landmines, but also what we've seen others perhaps fail, but learn from. And we just graciously give what the Lord has graciously given us.
That's so good, Alex.
You know?
That's really
And
good.
So, I mean, that's why like I love to chat with people. I love to give, you know, if you want to call it spiritual guidance, but it's because like, I don't know. It's like, man, I hope people are listening and hearing.
Yeah.
And not just taking that and going out the other ear, but put action.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, with that, let's talk about the message.
Let's talk about the Bible.
Let's talk about the Bible.
What do you want to talk about?
Ryan, so if I had been in some sort of trivia game and they had asked me, what do you think the description of Jesus having eyes like fiery flames and feet like bronze?
Yeah.
I would have lost in a heartbeat.
What would you have said?
I would have said, that sounds really scary. I don't know. The things that you said, the way that you said it, the fire that, first of all, he sees everything, that it's a purifying thing. And I didn't realize that it has the separate meanings for those who love Jesus, those who are in Christ, and those who oppose him. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. The Bible is so deep.
Oh.
You know, like,
yes.
Like, yeah, news flash, whatever mm-hmm. you call it. But there's so much symbolism in everything. Numbers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the fire eyes, it is scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is for those who don't know Christ, but it should also, it's warming to those as believers because you understand his love.
Yeah.
The reason it's scary to those who aren't followers of Christ is because they don't understand his love.
Which is exactly, you know, I know we touched on a little bit last week, but this is...
I'm going to pull it up.
I don't know how to say it without sounding so plain and simple, but this is the difference between mm-hmm. us and the world. And this is why people who oppose God so strongly have such a wrong view of his love
yep.
that they think his love looks like hate.
Yep.
And other than the Holy yeah, Spirit opening man. Somebody's eyes, you're like, I don't know how to explain to you that this is love. You just,
yep.
I need the Lord to give you eyes to see and ears
well,
to hear.
Well, they either view the Lord as a hateful person,
yeah.
or they take away what they don't want the Lord to have, and they say Jesus is only this way.
Yes.
And so both are very, very deceiving
yeah.
in many ways.
Yeah.
And that's the point where we have to show the fullness, the mm-hmm. full scope mm-hmm. of the Lord.
Which I'll speak from my own experience, because I've talked about that this time in my life where I guess I just viewed God as a punisher or mean. Mm-hmm. And then it almost makes you think, but are you even real? Mm. Because you're focusing so much on a God that really, because you have such a wrong view of God. Anyway, so now, and I've spoken about this before, where reading through the Old Testament was hard.
Yeah.
It was very hard for me. Now I read through the Old Testament with such different eyes, but even if I approach an entire book that leaves question marks mm-hmm. for me, my approach is different with God, because it's not like, wow, you're so mean. It's
wow.
Here's how I'm viewing this, but this is a me problem. You are perfect and holy and yeah. unchanging and worthy. So I need you to show me why this had to happen.
Yeah.
Or just give me trust in that it's not because you're big, yeah. bad, mean, egomaniacal God.
Yeah.
You're good.
And don't
so
just
show me why
yeah.
this is a me problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah. just don't stop at the verse or the passage that like messes with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of times, especially in the Old Testament, there's a lot of stories where you have to have full-on context and revelation
yes.
of the word, where that one passage may have messed with you,
mm-hmm.
but the full scope shows the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I love something Jackie Hill Perry said last week, which is just like, before I read the word, I say, Lord, you are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the word in the perspective of what he truly is, you know?
Yeah.
But if I just read the word and I don't put the the preface, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, please don't be cynical and act like this. You're trying to manipulate yourself. No, no,
yeah.
no, no. It's the reality that like the Lord says he's good. He's good. Now open the word.
Mm-hmm.
And get context.
Yeah.
Amen. That was, and I told y'all yesterday morning, that was, I say fear, but I think I didn't want this text to be received wrong because
mm-hmm.
we didn't understand Jesus's point in saying it. So that's what I said. Let's pray for his love to come over this place so they understand that when he talks about the eyes of fire, the foot stone, when he talks
uh-huh.
about literally killing Jezebel mm-hmm. and her, I mean, that's all. And a pastor called it severe mercy.
Mm.
And that's his mercy and grace. But it hurts in the moment, mm-hmm. but we got to understand, and we know that God is good. And so everything that he does is for our benefit because he loves us. Wow. And so even with the eyes of fire, that he uses it as correction to tenderize, to purify. But if you're not a follower of Christ, it's that it destroys what gets in the way yes. of purity. Yeah. So that could be sin. That could be people. Now I'm not saying, but he might remove them from your life, not necessarily yeah. death, but, mm-hmm. But even more so to the Antichrist and demons. Yeah. I mean, he fights them to remove them mm-hmm. from you so that you live in purity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for us to know. God has to go to extreme measure sometimes, but yeah. it's out of his severe mercy for you.
Well, and another note, I just saw some notes on this specific letter to the church too. And it said, because Jesus is the only one who perfectly knows our hearts, mm-hmm. we don't even know our own hearts. Yeah. So what I think you've done a great job in this series so far of doing is, I don't know people's relationship with the book of Revelation, but I get a vibe that mm-hmm. like it's so hellfire brimstone that people just get scared and look at it as a behavior modification. I think you've done such a great job of conveying that this is, it's not just wow. about fixing your behavior so you don't go yeah. to hell. This is a heart and soul transformation wow. that has to take place. So yes. Jesus, the only one who knows what a heart does, the only one who perfectly knows the human heart as the creator of it, he gets to speak on what affects our heart and where our hearts are and man. What happens when our hearts aren't aligned to
that's
him.
Powerful.
But here's why, because what you just said is correct. So he knows everything about you, even to the little details of your heart. Mm-hmm. And so the book of Revelation, I mean, it's in the title, it's a revelation of what is to come. Mm-hmm. So it's almost saying too, as I'm giving you this information, I want you to know that I am the Son of God. I know everything about mm-hmm. you. I know what hinders you. I know what stops you. I also know what encourages you. So mm-hmm. I am preparing you for the future when all of the persecution, all of the sexual morality, all it gets even worse and worse and worse, so that you are aware that it's coming and you don't fall into mm-hmm. it. Another guy said this too. Let me read this because this was a quote from him where it says,
"Yeah,
what is we see in our culture?" This was Psalm 2. Let me read Psalm 2 where David spoke about this, that he prophesied that the day is coming when the kings of the earth will be in unity together to drive out the influence of the word of God and culture. And if you look at it, this is happening now and it's accelerating. But I love how he said this. I want to assure you, though, that the kings of this earth and the merchants of this earth and some of the great power brokers who manipulate money, control people with money, mm-hmm. they will have temporary momentum. And it seems like they have the upper hand, but they will utterly fail when the Lord reverses everything. Mm-hmm. So he's preparing us now so that we can stand as the church yeah. and fight against all these things that are going to get worse and worse and worse and yeah. worse. And that's wow. when he says his word and his word alone will prove successful.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like it's revealing it's going to happen. So he's preparing you and helping you be pure yeah. so that you can stand against the temptations. And honestly, this is talking even those things, you know how we like to point out the mark of the beast mm-hmm. or all those things. He's saying, hey, don't fall into that. Mm-hmm. You need to be aware and stand mm-hmm. strong when those things start to occur yeah. so that your soul is saved of the day. Mm-hmm. So wow. anyway, yes.
That's super good.
That is.
Did I make sense to what you were saying?
I think so.
No, I loved it.
Because of like what you were saying, since he knows everything about you, he knows what damages you. So he's filling you with truth yeah. so that you can stand against the false, mm-hmm. false lies and teachings.
This is, you know, it's just going to sound really simple, but I'm trying to say it without going into the fact that we're also
really simple.
Okay, shush. The fact that we are about to go into the series that we're about to go into yeah. in a few mm-hmm. weeks or whatever. But how often do we hear the same things over and over and over again, but we still yeah. have not obeyed?
Wow.
And so I think people are constantly, even me, oh my, like I'm in awe because this past week I was just telling Brandon some things that I was like praying for and asking for from the Lord. I'm like, why would he not? Like, mm-hmm. why would he not? Just asking real questions to my husband, like, yeah. why won't he do this for me or whatever? How many things has he already said and done and I'm not even obeying mm-hmm. those?
Yeah.
You know, like we just want more and more and more from God, but like he's already given so much and we can't even handle that.
Yep.
We can't even have our consistent quiet time with him. You know, we're not having consistent prayer. I don't worship when things are hard. Like, these are things we already know and we don't do them. So it's just like, yeah,
he gives freely, but at the same time, he doesn't want you to abuse his gifts that he genuinely wants to give to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens so often.
Yeah.
You know, like, with relationships with Jesus and your relationship with the Lord, how deep you get into it, he will reveal more of himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the characteristics of friends of God that we see in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know,
yesterday, I hope that it came across the way I was intending, but one of the promises in this is that the overcomer, mm-hmm. it says that I'll give him the morning star, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is Jesus. I don't know. In that moment, I just felt like our church did not understand the greatness of that statement. Mm-hmm. Almost, and I'm guilty of this too, almost like, yeah, I already got Jesus. Mm. You know, and so that, I'm like, that's not that special to me. Mm-hmm. And then I was almost like, man, if that doesn't excite you, we need to question the posture of your heart. Not your salvation, but are you living in sin? Because, I don't know, like, that should excite us. Wow. More than anything else on the earth, that God will reveal more of himself to us. I just don't think we understand what that means.
I sometimes wonder for people if the Old Testament / I guess the New Testament too, events or the life of Jesus, life, mm-hmm. death, and resurrection of Jesus, does that feel more real than what has been told about what will come in the future? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's like we can believe in Jesus and we can get to a place to, it's like a level of supernatural belief. Like, okay, I can get on board with that. Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, died for my sins, resurrected. Mm-hmm. But I would just wonder, when you read Revelation, does it feel like that feels too fantastical?
Wow.
Does it feel not as real as the other parts of the Bible? You get what I'm saying? I just wonder if that's a thing for people to overcome.
Because it takes even more faith.
It's a lot of faith.
Especially because it hasn't occurred yet. Mm. So you can look at the Bible and see. Of course,
yes.
I mean, that's proof. You know, this is faith. I don't know. I mean, that's a great thought, great question.
But I'll tell you, early in my faith, things of eternity did not, well, and I was also young in life. And when you're young in life, you think you're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Things of eternity did not concern me. Hmm. Honestly, and that's probably a confession and, mm-hmm. Certainly a way I don't feel now, but it was like, I remember listening to messages and I didn't really care about eternity. I wanted to know, okay, but am I going to get married? Like, what's my husband going to be like? Like, do you have a promise for me to have a family? Or like, what does my future look like in life? What's my job? What money do I, like, I want to know. And again, this is growing in life too, but also maturity and faith that I just wanted the promises for myself. So like, okay, eternity is great, but that's like forever from now. And I just need to know now. So sometimes I wonder about that with people, especially if people are coming in with very serious, like dire situations that feel more urgent than eternity. But that's where the enemy has tricked us, I believe.
Man, it's funny you just said that, because in my mind, I'm thinking, I understand that somewhat, because we want the tangible things now in the moment. Mm-hmm. And when it says, I'll give you the morning star or Jesus, it's not like we can have that and grasp it. And like you said, get in quotes, fix to our problem. But what we don't realize is when we do have the fullness of Jesus, man, that's when our lives will really find joy.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
But you're right. I mean, he knows that too. He understands that we go through life and have ups and downs and issues and problems and stresses. You know, I mean, I think he gives in those moments too.
I think so too.
But you know, I don't know. I remember looking out in the crowd and I was like, it just does not seem like that is exciting.
But then you gave and I'll say this too, Ryan. One of the first times that me and Brandon came to New River, it was actually the first couple of times. Anytime that you spoke, I think I left one time and told Brandon, I always appreciated your eternal perspective, because even as recently as a few years ago, I think I still I still just had so much going on in life. I just wanted to know, like, God, are you here now? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But you always had such an eternal perspective that I was like, I'd like to think about that more.
Wow.
And so it really has sharpened me in the time that you've taught here. So, so there's that. But I do think it's hard for people to get, I do think it can be hard for people to get there. But you gave the perfect step. It's asking God, show me why you're better than anything else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and that's it too. It's like, we don't come to him. I don't know if we, and I'm the same way. Like, what is it that stops me from saying, like, Lord, I just want to be honest with you. That mm-hmm. doesn't excite me the way I feel like it should out of reverence to you.
Yeah.
But why? You know, like, why? Help me understand that, Lord.
That it's that this is a me problem. So show me what is it in me that is, first of all, so easily satisfied.
Maybe that's why we don't like to do it.
I think so too.
Who
wants to say this isn't me problem?
Paul even says it, not about that, but it's better to go ahead and judge yourself.
Yeah.
I forget the exact verse he uses or context, but it's basically self-judgment.
Mm. Like,
measure yourself up against holiness. Yeah. And because we, you know, y'all know that saying, we're harder on ourselves than most people can be.
We are. The only thing that comes to mind of that, I don't know if we mentioned this last week or the week before, but another Jackie Hill thing that I heard her talk about was just like, what's discipling you?
Mm.
You know, and what's really hard to grasp nowadays is the fact that I don't know how lightly people use that word, but the truth is that if it's not the word and or Christ, people who are like Christ discipling you, then something else is.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even fathom that the music you listen to is discipling you.
Mm.
It's hard to fathom that the things you're allowing into your soul by watching things are discipling you. And I'm not even going to the extreme of super, super sinful things. I'm saying even like how much news are you consuming? Mm-hmm. How much gossip or reality TV are you consuming to the point where...
Chill.
Sorry.
I was kidding.
You know, but... I mean, binge on something and watch how your body naturally adapts to that. Like you become that person.
You can maybe put myself on blast.
You know?
Yes, so, I do because Brandon would come home and say, I can tell you've been watching Real Housewives.
Dang.
Because you're sassy?
First of all, I've never been sassy a day in my life.
No, I meant because of the show.
Yeah.
Is that for real?
Yeah. I was just avoiding
I've never
your
seen
question.
It. I just assumed they were sassy.
Yeah, it's
they're
sassy.
Called the Desperate
but he said,
Housewives.
They're not called the Desperate Housewives. They're called the Real Housewives. Desperate Housewives is an entirely different show.
Different show.
that I also watched. Anyway.
Yeah.
But that,
no, you're right.
It's
yeah.
true.
We
it's
do.
True.
We start to.
I mean, why else would he say that? You can tell. Because I've been discipled by how these women speak to each other and speak to their husbands.
But that, again, like that word
this was years ago, by the way.
Sassy Sally.
That word sounds heavy or it sounds like, nah, it's not really discipling me. But
it's influencing you.
It's influencing you in the truth of the scope of the word discipleship. It's who are you letting pour into you?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is coming from people. It is spiritual, but the music you listen to is coming from another human. The shows you watching are coming from acting from another human.
Yeah.
Whether it's acting or not acting, reality TV, right? It's all fake, but it's reality, right?
Yeah.
Like all this stuff's being poured into you.
Yeah.
You know, like that's why they all that saying of like, tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Like, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Mm. That's what like, you know, all these things, what is so profound is that you are being discipled. You are being disciplined or shaped by what you're hanging. So,
yeah.
To go back into like to understand revelation, to understand biblical things.
Yeah.
Where's the satisfaction issue?
Mm-hmm.
The satisfaction comes from a place of what satisfies me right now is my flesh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to fathom a relationship with the Lord the way you're explaining it to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know? Let's go even further. If you are being explained the gospel through religious views, and it's only like one way, then there's not going to be like something genuinely changed because like their perspective is, it's like wait till you get to heaven or you know like or you know I don't want to like put a ton of like religious things on blast, but I'm just saying there's not going to be this like shift, this genuine shift because the reality is we believe that Christ is real and that His Holy Spirit dwells here with us, and that we can genuinely have a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Not just a, I'm going to pray and I don't hear nothing from the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, no. He speaks. Mm-hmm. Not only does He speak through His word, mm-hmm. you know? Like, mm-hmm. So this is, you know, I don't know if I'm gibbering around.
But no, you make sense. I think you make total sense. One of the things that it makes me think of, I'm trying to find this in your notes, Ryan.
Which part? Because I'm looking up some stuff too. Because what you said out, I mean, the way, you know, what you're around shapes you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what this church really dealt with. That's why Jezebel was so...
Yes.
I mean, she was leading people
so
into
influential.
Deception.
Yes. Yeah.
This is where I was going with that, is that if we're not understanding the gravity of eternity or the greatness of Jesus and why it's awesome that we will have the morning star, I think the thing it proves to us is the same thing as this, that we are engaging in idolatry because something else seems better than God.
Yeah.
And so just because we haven't built... necessarily. I mean, some people build their little altars to things and,
yes.
you know, make their little idols that they worship. But more often than not now, it's just the things that we've idolized in our minds and our schedules, with our money and with our time and yeah. our emotions, you know, some people. And so I guess I'd like to talk a little bit. I do want to talk more about idolatry. I want to go back though, if we can. I want to talk, well, I don't even want to talk about it all that much. I just want to say the road to Emmaus that mm-hmm. you brought in as far as like the eyes mm-hmm. of fire, when it said, did not our hearts, weren't our hearts ablaze within us mm-hmm. while He was talking with us? I just thought that was so good. Yeah. That was such a good parallel.
Wow.
Anyway, that was all I had to say about that. Great job.
That's just proximity. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wonder how many people experience that in our church, but they don't know the language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you're just overwhelmed, you're like, man, something is different. Like I'm just have a warmness. I'm just tender right now. Mm-hmm. That's the fire that He's speaking of. Mm. It's the fire of purity in your life.
I love that.
That's kind of their hearts were ablaze because they were right next to pure holiness mm-hmm. and their sin. I wonder if their sin was on fire metaphorically,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, I'm being tenderized.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Anyway, then it goes on, the verse 19. I know your works, your love, faithfulness, yeah. service, and endurance. Your last works are greater than the first. The fact that they are growing.
Yeah.
And I felt like this sentence summarizes so many Christians, because sometimes I think the way that we talk about sin is like, and it's like we're talking about other people who are just trying to use grace as a means to sin. And like, mm-hmm. we're thinking about sneaky, sinful people. If we turn it back on ourselves, I feel like most people who follow Christ fall into this.
Yeah,
works.
And it's that I actually do love the Lord mm-hmm. because they're known for their love and their faithfulness to God. There are people who
endurance,
love to
yeah.
love the Lord,
wow.
who love to serve, who love to be faithful to God. There are people who love to do that. This is me. Like, it just proves how double-minded we can be.
Mm.
That when I'm sinning, I'm not trying to go against the Lord. I'm not trying to be sneaky about it and say, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, it's just that we are sinful people. Are you guys tracking? I feel like
yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Not making sense, but I feel like that's more often than not than somebody who's just blatantly, I'm going to pretend to worship God, but then I'm going to go do what I want.
Yeah.
More people, I think, genuinely want to worship God, but their sin,
yeah.
it's that whole, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
Yeah. Weak, yes.
And it's that kind of thing. And so this yeah. just gave me such a, honestly, a sweet picture to know He does see it. He does know that I'm not just trying to out here be sinful and abuse the grace that God gave us.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
But gosh, it's hard, yes. you know?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I think I said somewhere in there yesterday is
yeah.
like that's true repentance. And it's
yes.
not abusing repentance,
yeah.
knowing that you are forgiven. But when you do sin, it should hurt. You know,
yeah.
you should feel something. And I did say, you might feel guilt and shame. Now, that's not from the Lord. That's mm-hmm. the consequences of mm-hmm. sin. That's the accuser. But at the same time, if you sin and you don't feel those things,
yeah.
then mm-hmm. there's evidence that the Holy Spirit is not within you.
Yeah.
So that, I think, to your point too, is No, if you fall into sin and it genuinely hurts and it makes you seek repentance, that's what the Lord is saying. I'll forgive you thousands of times.
Yeah.
But don't abuse it, right? Don't go into sin knowing that you can receive freedom from it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Don't fall into sin and do the sin because you know that the Lord will forgive you. That's the abuse part.
Yeah.
But what I picked up, I love how the Bible works. Mm-hmm. He enlightened something to you, but it was different for me.
Yeah.
Mine was more of on the negative side, is where churches and across the world, including ours, can do a lot of good things for the community and still be really torn apart on the inside, hurt on the inside, unhealthy on the inside. Though, and remember too, context, that this is being, it's to the elders and leaders of the church.
Yeah.
So to your point too, I mean, the elders and leaders should be discipling the church, and the church should start following under their leadership and what they do. So he's saying to the leaders of the church, I know your works and you're leading that church into love, faithfulness, service, and et cetera. But then that's why he calls it out too. But I also have this against the leaders. You're also allowing this woman to teach false teachings.
Wow.
So I see the things, but you're missing on the spiritual side. You know, your works are there, but your faith is not. Mm-hmm. And he wants to combine them, those two.
Wow.
That is really good. Yeah.
Do you want to go to verse 20?
Wow. Or
do you have any more thoughts? Because I thought that was cool too, how he specifically pointed out your last works are greater than your first.
Well, that was the only other thing I was going to ask, or just pose this question, because I was reading through something and it posed the question to like me as the reader, are your works right now greater than your first works? Mm. And so that could be a good place for some people to pause and say, I need to wrestle with this right now.
That's
and I need to understand my heart posture on this. Are my works now?
What does that look like?
Has my faith, because you pointed this out, that what that sentence means is that you've grown.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's a good question for people. Have you grown since you met Jesus?
Mm. Wow.
Have things changed?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I saw a message one time and it said, how do you know if somebody's a Christian? It's not because they said they raised their hand to receive Christ. Their affections and their appetites have changed. That's the evidence of a changed life, of someone who has been changed from the inside out.
Like, that is core, like,
yeah.
How would I even go to what is something that you would have not naturally done with your, like, quotation mark, original self?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I speak to a lot of creative, artistic people.
Mm-hmm.
And stereotypically, we tend to be somewhat introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my quotes downstairs is, your availability off stage affects your credibility on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fruit of the Spirit is, I know you may be an introvert, but because you carry the Lord, will He give you the boldness and the strength to get outside of your comfort zone?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And those are the things, like, what are things that your first fruits versus where are you now? Where's growth?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not about like, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm just timid or I'm just shy. Well, shyness is not a fruit of the Spirit.
That's good. Yeah.
Do you have a roaring lion inside of you or you don't?
Dang.
You know?
That reminds me of that song.
Yes.
Jeez.
So that's where.
You didn't have to go so hard.
Sorry. No, I shouldn't apologize.
You have to apologize.
I'm just saying, like, these are the things, like, have you grown?
Ugh.
Because has Jesus been revealed? Like, has it continued to keep growing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like, you're saying that, and I'm like, I'm so in love because I'm like, as we saw it Sunday.
Yeah.
Back then, I wouldn't be so quick to be like, I want to pray for that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But as soon as I saw the drummer trembling and having a moment with the Holy Spirit, it's within me to be like, look, let's go.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit gives you the green light, act.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's so good, Alex. So, I feel like that is going to, I had a conversation yesterday with someone and we both, really what she shared was the evidence of growth in your life. I would not have done this. I wouldn't have said this before. I wouldn't have been so bold. I feel the Lord emboldening me in the same way. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So one last thing. Sorry, don't lose your thought, but I really feel like saying this.
Yeah.
This is a parental strategy, like, from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you have a child that somewhat is shy, like, with faith every day, call that out and say you have a roaring lion.
Mm.
Every day.
That's good.
And you'll see within time, I'm telling you, even within a year, that little kid will begin to preach the gospel.
Mm.
Because shyness is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that oh, they're just that way. I'm telling you, that's how you will end up cultivating a child slash teenager slash adult that's like, you should have dealt with that years ago.
Yeah. It's a process that they had to get over.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the wisdom you speak sounds so much better with your voice right now.
We haven't commented on his voice yet.
I'm just so sucked in to your voice right now.
Yeah. Don't go hard on spicy foods for multiple days at a time.
That's good to know.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
I will say that it's almost, we touched on this last week, that it's just the way that I am. There's almost no label when you're in Christ that you can apply to yourself and just cling to forever now anymore.
No, because now you're not only a new creation, but you're formed in the identity of Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why sometimes for a long time, I clung to a lot of personality test results, like here's who I am. And I think I actually heard a message on it where it can become an idol, because now this is what defines your identity. You're not in Christ anymore. You're INFJ from Myers-Briggs or you're whatever this is. And it becomes an idol because you believe that you can be self-aware enough. That self-awareness becomes an idol, that I know who I am so much, but that you become so rigid and unchanging and unyielding because it's just the way I am.
Yeah. I was going to say,
you won't yield
to
the Holy Spirit.
Right. And you limit your growth because you chalk it back to, no, that's not my personality.
Yeah.
So I can't grow in that area.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're saying.
I'm in all right now.
We had a question. Listen, let me pull it up. I know this was a question from friend who she wanted to know specifically about spiritual giftings.
Oh yeah.
And how they can differ from believer to believer. And do you think that they're permanent or temporary? And would it be an opposition to God to not use the gifts that he has blessed you with? And so this is, we don't have to answer all of this right now, but that it kind of goes back to that. Are they temporary or permanent? Can the Lord come upon you and as a roaring lion, you're all of a sudden in a gifting you didn't think that you had. You're all of a sudden speaking with a boldness you've never had before, you know, or things like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What a big deep breath.
You
don't have to answer.
Two parts to that. It's the giftings and but then the one that struck me is it in opposition?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out which one to tackle first.
Both.
I don't know. Ask the first question in half and then we'll get to the second. That first gifting one.
But there's a lot of questions in this, so I don't know which one I said.
The way you said it earlier was basically, does everyone have specific gifts?
Yeah,
that one.
Specific gifts, are they temporary or permanent?
Yeah.
No. I don't think they're temporary.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lord gives. You are born with gifts and he doesn't take it away.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, whether you serve the Lord or not, but let's highlight the not, is why you see people continue to thrive in their giftings, even in the world.
Wow.
You know, because the Lord's not going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll even go as far to say, if you look at psychic readers, a lot of times you wonder, how are they using that gift? It's because the Lord has given abilities for people to be even more sensitive to the things, to spiritual things. And so a lot of times we as Christians, we either don't know because we don't understand the word or don't know enough of the word to know that this is a real thing. And so a lot of people then, they're like, well, I'm not going to do that in the Christian life. I just feel a gift and I tend to see that it's quote unquote accurate. You know, and so I just think the Lord doesn't take away, it's not temporary. I believe they're just permanent gifts, but the Lord wants you to use it for his glory, you know, and there's a lot of beauty in that. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing was the opposition. What say the opposition?
Would it be an opposition to God to not use the gifts that he has blessed you with?
I don't know. I feel a certain way when the question's phrased like an opposition towards God, because the Lord... ain't wasting time either.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want the relationship with the Lord, there's somebody else that the Lord's also building up.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sounds kind of harsh, but we've seen it mm-hmm. time and time again. The Lord is always building people up. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like you want to serve more your flesh, there's already somebody mm-hmm. else that the Lord's mm-hmm. like, I've been loving on this other one too. It could have been you.
Yeah.
But my kingdom needs to expand and my return is soon. Mm-hmm. So I feel a certain way with the way the question's phrased, the opposition. But I would like
to know what she meant exactly by that. I would say on those two questions, and we talked about this earlier, I agree with what you're saying. I mm-hmm. think we all have individual gifts that only God gave us because he knows us, as mm-hmm. we talked about earlier. But I do think there are times where the Holy Spirit might, and for lack of a better word, descend on you and give you a gift in a moment. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I see where you're going.
You know what I'm saying? So yes. I do think some are, temporary is the wrong yeah. word, but he might give you something in that moment for the benefit of somebody for his glory.
I feel like this would be a good study for another day, but
yeah, for
if
sure.
I'm following what you're tracking, there are people with like high prophetic giftings, but I really believe we all have access to prophesy, not only prophesy the word of God of somebody, mm-hmm. but the Holy Spirit can give you like a word of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, can you share this with the so-and-so? And it's just a brief revelation that the Holy Spirit's giving you to share with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I could go,
you know,
even to bigger situations, but yeah, yes. something like that.
I really don't want to get too side, but like if you look at the fivefold ministry, you know, you have your apostle, your prophet, your teacher, your evangelist, and your pastor. Not everybody's called to teach.
Right. That's, yes.
But there's going to be moments where the Lord's like, hey, I'm going to put this teaching, if you want to call it mantle, mm-hmm. over you because there's a moment and a season in your life where you need to teach. Mm-hmm. It may not be your like stronghold. For example, you may be called to be an evangelist, mm-hmm. you know, like, or serve in missions, you know, but there's going to be moments where the Lord's like, in this discipleship, I'm gonna like heighten the teaching mantle over your life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I definitely have seen stuff like that. Right.
I would say too, for the second one, knowing what she means is difficult. So I'm taking it how I,
yeah.
And I think that if the Lord gives you spiritual gifts, a certain spiritual gifts, then he wants you to be walking in the spirit, as you mentioned, not mm-hmm. the flesh. And so if there's an opportunity to use your gift and you're not necessarily walking in the spirit to see that gift, you're not walking in faith to trust that this is from the Lord and he will provide, then I do think it's a lack of faith, which she said opposes the Lord. In some ways, yes, because you're choosing yourself over mm-hmm. over faith in the Lord, you know?
It does feel, yeah. I mean, to me, like rebellion.
Yeah,
like
almost, it, yeah.
Anyway, we can do this another day, but my mind goes to, I just looked it up really quick, the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for, in that specific scenario, it was, you don't use it, you lose it. Literally, like yes. it was take it away then yep. from the one who that didn't sow.
Isn't that the one who said too much is give, or trust you with little, trust you with more? Paraphrasing that, of course.
For everyone who has, more will be given
yeah.
more, and you
yeah.
will have an abundance. But for one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, that's a concept of reaping yeah. and sowing, and
but using your spiritual gifts is an act of faith.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah. that's why I would say it. I think if we're not exercising the gifts that we were given mm-hmm. for the body of Christ, then oppose God is harsh to sound. But yeah, I do think that we're being sinful yeah. because we're not following in faith.
Well, I heard a thing. What was it? I just heard this is over the weekend, maybe that, I think it's like a reel that's going around basically that your giftings it's God's gift to you. Hmm. And how we use them as our gift back to God.
Ooh, wow. I like that.
So
there you go. So that answers that question. Yeah. Yes.
How did
like
we get
that.
There?
I love that.
I can't remember what it was, but.
I do yeah. want to, can I get into the, I want to clarify what we talked about
please,
yesterday.
Please.
You want to talk about idolatry.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about how Jesus confronts the idolatry and sexual morality. Yeah. So do you want to do idolatry first?
All I was going to say was because we did go very hard on, mm-hmm. I just feel like it was like a personal revelation maybe. Mm-hmm. We went very hard on marriage last week,
yeah.
Specifically towards mm-hmm. men. We gave women a lot of like grace and empowerment and all that kind of stuff within their marriage. But I want to say, if the two main topics are idolatry and sexual immorality, this is not a generalization. I'm not just trying to make this generalization, mm-hmm. but I would say we could go pretty hard on women for idolatry and probably pretty hard for men on sexual immorality. It's like, that's probably what makes up both of these. Wow. Is, and that's not mutually exclusive. Right, like women can certainly fall into sexual immorality. Men can certainly fall into idolatry. But if we had to say something, I don't know. It was just something that was kind of highlighted to me because we talked so much about sexual immorality in men last week. We could probably do the same for, there's so much that we idolize.
Yeah.
So much that we put at the forefront. And it's, you know, for us, I think a lot of times it's a lot of social media stuff that we're just trying to achieve.
Wow.
We just want these picture perfect things. We want these vacations all the time. We want it, that we want, so we want to make the money and we want to just do all of the things. Anyway, it's, I don't know.
And that's modern day idolatry,
yes,
you know,
yes.
But it's hard to put our mindset into that. This is interesting. So Revelation, it has a lot of different things that Jesus confronts, a lot of different sins. But if you look through the whole Bible, I think I briefly mentioned this, but idolatry and sexual morality are the things that tore down nations.
Yes.
And if you look at the end, the harlot Babylon, the reason that is overtaken and destroyed by Christ is because of the two things they were focused on, idolatry and sexual morality. So if Christ himself goes that hard on all throughout the Bible, you know, it's not just in Revelation, then we need to pay attention to this and understand the damage when we fall into these sins, these fall into these traps.
Yes.
That's why I think he is so descriptive in this Bible, on this text, because if you looked at it, the other churches, he didn't go to this level of description. He just said, I'll come quickly.
Yeah. Wow.
But here's what he said. And I just want to clarify more for those who are here so that we understand what he's actually saying. So he's talking about Jezebel, as we know, verse 20. I'm going to just read it through 23, really. He's saying, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my slaves to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. He says, I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. So he says, look, I will throw her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her practices. Mm. He says, I will kill her children with the plague. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each according to your works. Let me first say that then all the churches will know. So people looked up to Jezebel so much that it got to a point that they were trusting her word over God. And so that's why in the beginning, he says, I am the Son of God. In the description of my eyes and my feet, it's because of this. He's talking about, with my eyes of fire and my feet of bronze, I will stomp on that. Then you will know that I am the one. Mm-hmm. I am God, and I examine your heart and I examine your mind. I just thought that's interesting. That's the core. That's why he wanted you to know, I'm the Son of God, not her.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill her children so that you'll know that I am truly God. So I thought that was interesting.
I love that I gave her time to repent.
Man, when he says I gave her time to repent, what stuck out to me, I don't know how he did it with her, but this ties into last week when we talked about the sharp double-edged sword, and this applies to our lives, like he is giving us time to repent of the sins that we are captivated by. Mm-hmm. But there is going to come a time to where, I won't say his patience runs out, that's the wrong thing, but there's going to be a time where he's going to take it into his own hands and draw you into repentance, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's almost saying, I'm trying to let you do this on your own time. I'm going to send people to speak into your life. I'm going to give you the word of God to convict you. So I'm giving you time. It's almost like you're on a clock here.
Yeah.
Mm. And so she's on a clock. I gave her time, but she didn't want to. So what did I do? I made her sick so that people would see, one, that she's human.
Yeah.
One, that she has faults. And then everybody else who follows in her, it says, I'm literally going to kill them as well. So this is what I want to speak on, because that sounds very harsh. This is that severe mercy that I'm talking about. And for us, who knows what that looks like? Mm-hmm. And I want to point out, I said this yesterday too, I want to point out, every time you get sick or a loved one passes away is not because of a current sin in your life.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the effects of sin from the garden. Mm-hmm. But this is speaking about a certain situation that God might lead you into, as we talk about. That's mm-hmm. those circumstances that make you almost at rock bottom where you have to say, Lord, I need you. It's better when I'm with you mm-hmm. than into this sin. And there's and it seems harsh. It seems like that's a very judgmental thing for God to do. No, that's his mercy drawing you, because he's trying to kill your flesh so that he'll save your soul.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a story in the Old Testament. There's two stories I want to bring up real quick. Mm-hmm. First Samuel, there's a high priest named Eli, and he had two sons. And this was crazy. So they're like the top three spiritual leaders of this nation. Eli was good. He was doing the right thing. His sons were living in immorality. Mm-hmm. They were overlooking their sin. They were bad people, mm-hmm. bad examples, mm-hmm. especially to be spiritual leaders. And the problem was that their dad, Eli, told them they needed to repent, but he did not remove them from position.
Wow.
And he even says to Eli, he says, why are you honoring your sons more than you're honoring me? Mm. Like, you got to understand, man, like they're drawing people away because of the sin that they're in. And they never repented. So the Lord says, I'm going to cut them off. He killed the two sons because he had to step in to deliver. He had to step in and crush the things that they would not get rid of, their flesh. Yeah. And what's crazy is, we don't think of the Lord this way. And I'm not suggesting that he's going to do that mm-hmm. in your life, mm-hmm. but I'm saying it is an extreme. Sin is so extreme to the Lord that he would rather you honestly die to your flesh so that you can live in the spirit, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it takes things extreme measures because we are so stubborn and we're so close-minded and we don't want to give up the things that we're so captivated by. And that's what he's saying. I'm giving you time to repent.
Yeah.
There's another story of a priest in Zechariah where it was the same situation where he did fall in. He struggled. However, he repented. Mm. And so the Lord says to Satan, I do not receive your accusations. And he reinstated, it was Joshua, to be the high priest because of repentance. He stumbled, but he repented. So it's not the stumbling that took him out of position. It was his repentant heart to say, I screwed up. Yeah. It's his humility and showing us. Oh. So there's two examples here. The Lord is giving us time to repent of the things in our life. Mm-hmm. It's a ticking time bomb. He's mm-hmm. saying, I'm calling you out of this. So just do it the first time. Trust in me the first time. Bring it to me the first time so that I can purify your heart. I think that's important. I wanted to clarify.
That's a good word.
If y'all got anything else on that, I don't want us to think that God's going to kill everybody off because they're sinful. No, that's mercy that sometimes he puts circumstances in your life to remove sin, to not give you the ability to continue falling into sin. Mm-hmm. What also is telling, this is what I struggled with. I know we don't have a lot of time left, so I don't want to go deep into this.
Yeah,
because this, it didn't question the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. But it did in my mind think, because why would he, how did the guy say this? I'd rather your body die or be sick so your soul can live. So his point was, if, let's say these guys, or let's say now, people today, if they continue falling into sexual morality, at one point, they will be so far down that road that the truth of God's word will no longer speak into their life. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying. I'd rather go ahead and remove that from you now mm-hmm. so that it doesn't get to the point where you turn your back on me later. Mm-hmm. And that really, it made me think a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, where does that fall into that whole once saved, always saved? Any thoughts on that?
Why are you looking at me? You go first.
That's tough, you know?
No, it is. It's really tough. Brandon and I have talked about a lot of this extensively. I'll just say the common thought process behind all of it is that if somebody absolutely turns away and just says that, you know, is living in total opposition to God, that did they ever really have the Holy Spirit? Because to know that we have tasted and seen.
Yeah.
We've tasted and seen, and you won't go that far if you have actually tasted and seen.
Basically, and I guess that's kind of my point too, is that he's saying he doesn't want your soul to get to a point. Mm-hmm. We should see fruit in our lives, mm-hmm. proof of the existence of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if the Holy Spirit is active and moving in your life, mm-hmm. I do believe in once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. But there has to be action on our end and living in the spirit to have fruit to allow that to continue to flourish. Mm-hmm. That's why I was just like, man, so what does he mean by, I'd rather your body die now so that it doesn't continue on in this path until there's no way that you'll be reconciled. Not because of Christ, but because of our actions.
Yeah.
It just threw me for a loop there.
Yeah, these are great theological debates. But you know, the word also talks about making your election sure. And there's particular biblical verses that it really messes around with your salvation security. And I've always, it messes with you. I do believe if you genuinely gave your life to Christ and there is daily fruit, to me, the once saved, always saved, to me, feels more that the sins that you will commit in the future in that process of sanctification, your salvation is.
Exactly, yes.
It doesn't eliminate you.
Yeah.
It doesn't eliminate
from an inheritance.
The religious, like, at least for me, Pentecostal way of seeing it has always been, well, if you sin, now you're condemned to hell. Make sure to repent. Like, that's wrong, in my opinion. I'm sorry if you're Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal in many ways.
I would agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's this... So, yeah, what I really just want to say is, I say this a lot, but believe in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
That it covered your past, present, and future sin. But please don't abuse it, because then the passage is like, you know, Jesus talking about, you know, go away, I never knew you. That's the part where it is hard.
Yeah.
You know, where I loved even Liam teaching on Sunday, which was a heavy message, but the reality is you raising your hand every Sunday, you even praying a prayer, that doesn't necessarily save you, you know? Because it's not like 100, it's not just actions. It's not what you can do in your ability to earn salvation. You know, like this is where a lot of people just starts to really mess around. You need to ask the Lord for a better revelation of, well, who he is and what his grace is like.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, just to turn it back, because things that I don't like about big debates like that anyways, is like, who are you really talking about right now? So right now, if you're listening, it's not about, do I need to be worried about my salvation? It's like, talk to the Lord, figure out, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
You know, you don't, it's not about living. I don't live every day in fear that I'm not saved. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I believe I'm a saint, you know, that sins. And so I've been rescued, and because God's position does not change, and my position in Christ does not change, because Christ took care of my sin on the cross, and I have fully believed that, and I've given my life to that, and I've accepted Jesus as my King, Lord over my life, I'm saved.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sin, and I am going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask, Lord, please help me not to do that again. And so I just don't want anybody walking away from a conversation, and this this is your heart too.
That's the difference though. You just said it. I'm going to sin and I'm going to ask, Lord, forgiveness and help me change.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. So you don't have to be scared of every time that you sin, that if you, you know, I remember having these debates and conversations in high school and, you know, okay, so if I go out and I sin and then I'm in a car accident, like, do I go to heaven or hell? It was like all these different things. It's okay. You're okay. If you are hidden in Christ, you are just that. You're hidden in Christ and it doesn't change. The question is, if you're sitting here wondering, am I saved? You need to just have a conversation with God. And probably a trusted brother or friend. Make sure that you know that you are. Like, get to those fundamental things that know that you are. And then also, if you just think that it's your ticket to heaven, it's so much more than that. I love Stephanie Gretzinger's thing, that he doesn't just want you to get in. There's so much more to be trusted with now. So anyway, I feel like that's the important part of the conversation.
Yeah. And again, I just bring that up because it's,
well,
it's fun to talk about. I mean, because, and it's, again, it points to the seriousness of how God takes sin, but also let's remember who the in these verses and in that first story, he's talking to people who refuse to repent.
Yes.
So that's a big key too. Mm-hmm. I mean, in salvation, mm-hmm. repentance is necessary.
Wow. I think you even mentioned it. It was either this week or last week, but if you even have, if you sin and feel bad about it, if it produces a negative emotion, such as like, it was like, but you said there was a difference between like guilt, like sorry that I got caught or sorry, mm-hmm. and like, I'm sorry that I did that, that I participated in that. And there's like a genuine remorse and desire to change and not do it anymore. Mm-hmm. There's just a difference. It gets hard when you talk about those.
I remember being in the Spanish church when once saved, always saved became like a very like prominent, mm-hmm. I guess. And it was always the dangers of, there's a truth in that phrase, but what is the deceptive truth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, we're just going to allow somebody to come in, go up to the altar, and then return to their past life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. That's where the enemy is so sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And well, that's the teachings that we studied last week. You're covered under grace.
Yeah.
So you could do whatever. No. That's right. You're right. There could be twisted. Mm-hmm. To really confuse you. The point is, once saved, always saved, if you have fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, by sanctification, like you're saying, by the works that you're doing for the glory of the mm-hmm. Lord, if you're growing, if you're, you know, you'll see those things. Mm-hmm. That's evidence. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say, let me wrap this up, mention, you know, he calls out Jezebel. Then he says, but listen, not all of you are doing those things. So hold on to what you have. Hold on mm-hmm. to that grace, hold on to that love until I come. I'm coming, so just hold on to it. Then he promises that you'll rule over nations. Mm-hmm. You'll have the authority over nations, and you'll have more of Christ, which is the morning star. I know I've read this before, but like, I don't remember seeing anywhere else in the Bible where it says that I'll give you authority over nations mm-hmm. in the age to come. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's why yesterday I did not feel comfortable enough speaking to that in confidence. I was like,
every one of these sentences could probably be its own 3-hour Bible study. Yeah. I say to the rest of you who do not hold this teaching and who haven't known the deep things of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dang.
So that's the other thing that I've been thinking about this whole podcast is the book of Revelation, because it's filled with so much symbolism mm-hmm. and futuristic mm-hmm. promises and plans. It involves and requires of us more mm-hmm. to seek God's wisdom mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. which means like studying.
Yes.
That's why like when you shouted out like Brittany, like mm-hmm. who's been studying
mm-hmm.
the book of Revelation, it really takes that much mm-hmm. to just dive right in. And what I love about Brittany was this with all respect, but she was like, I'm so fearful.
Yes.
In her nature, I'm so fearful. So the Holy Spirit said, I want you to study it. And so you got to go head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love that.
Don't be afraid. Dive in.
Yeah.
One version where you said, who haven't known the deep things of Satan, said the secret things of Satan. That's, uh-huh. bro, that hit mm-hmm. me too. And he's, again, talking about the false teachings that Jezebel was teaching. I mean, those are things, that is Satan creeping into the church in secret, speaking through someone that people trusted. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying. You don't fall for those things. You recognize them and don't fall for them. So hold on to that. And I don't put any other burden on you.
Yeah.
And I want to point that out, like I pointed out yesterday, is those aren't perfect Christians mm-hmm. that he's talking about. I mean, those are people who probably do struggle with idolatry and sexual morality, because I'm sure that most people do.
So Jezebel tends to be symbolized as like sexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sexual moral spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of this false prophetess, what would you say is like the stereotype of a, like a false teaching in that capacity, I guess? I don't know if that's the right question.
I don't think someone, are you like modern day?
Yeah, and I'm not saying specific names. I'm saying more like the aura. What's the essence of what that looks like?
I don't know if people speak on like sexual morality is okay. I think we have a lot of watered down gospel, more of like last week, more of you know, you don't have to necessarily repent one time and you're good.
Mm.
Like they think repentance is only necessary at the moment of salvation. Mm-hmm. So I think they say you can fall under grace no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the prosperity gospel speaks to this. That's idol worship. And I think when you, they've turned the gospel to now you receive and you don't receive anything. We give everything and the Lord will bless you. That's not what I'm saying. But so I think it's kind of like that prosperity gospel thing, the watered down gospel, the half truths of the gospel. When people don't speak about the cross and what it means and how it purifies, I think all of those things is similar to what they would be speaking on here.
So like the reality is like the red flags of modern day church, what to avoid is if they're not preaching repentance, if they're not preaching Christ crucified, you know, like.
I mean, I think identity.
Identity.
Well. Identity. And if they focus on what you can receive rather than what you should do.
Yeah, but you know, it's crazy. Even that's a huge topic because in a lot of churches, the identity that is preached, it's the identity of like, you're going to make it through. You're going to, you know, like, I don't know how to like really articulate it, but it's all this like hope-driven thing, which is real, but it's never, it's hardly ever the identity of like dying to self.
Yes.
Like,
We just talked about this before, but I'll mention it again that Brandon's reading this. I can't remember what it's called, something of the kingdom. And the terminology for what it is to be a true disciple of Jesus, it is all very graphic. It is serious business to be a disciple of Jesus. And it is a lot of dying. It is all of dying to yourself, not just a lot of it. And it's that serious that it's the, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, if your hand causes, you know, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Like this, we take up our cross. We take up our instrument of death.
Yes.
And we count that cost to follow Jesus.
Yep.
And so that's why, you know, there is an element of come as you are.
Yeah.
Because Jesus loves you as you are.
That's the Jezebel spirit. It's to come as you are.
And stay as you are.
And stay as you are.
You know? Because God is love. And that's another, they twist
that's it,
love.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, which I love the Bible in its intentionality, but like even the eating of the meat that's, what was it?
Sacrifice
to it's, and continue to like stay eating the things that are feeding you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So, what to look for, I'm not please don't become critical spirits when it comes to like being a Christian, but when you're at a church, you should really just ask, like, what are the things that are being absolutely, they're not budging, you know, what's being preached and what's being portrayed. And that's the thing is like, we want you to come as you are, but we don't want you to leave the same, you know? And we want you to encounter Jesus, but not just leave Jesus at the on the altar. Like, you know, go home with him, please.
And you got, so let me give you, I don't know if this fits to answer your question, but I briefly do this, but this is what we talked about yesterday, where what she would really teach is that it's okay to go to those feasts that worship other gods because basically their jobs would put them on in celebration. And so if you didn't attend, you would be fired. But if you do attend, what they do is they would, I mean, they would sacrifice an animal and then say, this is for the god Apollo, and then they would all eat of it together. And so she would teach that it is okay to do that, you know, because the reason you're doing that is for prosperity, is for you to save your job, and God would be okay with that. And so that's what she's saying. It's okay to do little things,
compromise,
because in reality, we know that, you know, your heart is still for God, the whole thing, except just this little part.
Yeah, compromise and tolerance are literal killers, like spiritual killers.
Yeah, because it starts as little compromise.
Yeah.
But this it doesn't end that way.
Well, this is what's hard though, is because you feel like it's not. And even if you try to tell somebody, hey, that's a little compromise, that's such, you can't even tell someone. It's literally like they just have to do it and find out.
You were hitting this, I think very hard on Sunday, but just the idea of, like, you don't think this is going to hurt you, I'm going to do this little. And you view it as something little, but the compromise and the tolerance are actually what's going to, it's feeding it, so it's going to grow, you know?
Yeah.
And when that sin grows or that tolerance grow, you end up crashing in a place where you never thought you'd ever be. But it's because when you return to the root, you allowed something in quote-unquote little. And this is why we don't play with fire.
Yeah.
Yep. Growing just, that's, don't give the devil a foothold because he will take that. Yeah. I love 100%. How you said, just in conversation, speaking on that, is when you start something a little compromised and you get away with it, you think, oh man, there was no consequences to that.
Yep.
And so then you're numbed a little bit more and it grows.
Yep.
And so, and that's kind of what God, I think he's kind of saying that too. There are consequences. We just don't see them. We're not getting caught, like you said, but there are internal consequences to everything that we're doing. And he's saying, I'm giving you time to repent until I do have to place someone in your life. And it might be very embarrassing when they catch you in that. But again, it's for my mercy. I'm showing you mercy so you don't continue falling into it.
Yeah. I love this.
I do too.
Oh, fun fact. Jezebel, again, this is, I heard a pastor talk about this. So this ain't me. But these are two separate Jezebels from Old Testament and the New Testament. And he was saying that they don't even think that that's her actual name, but it was basically given to her, or she claimed that name. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So he was like, don't name your children Jezebel.
Yeah.
Don't even name your pet rat Jezebel.
It's probably good, it's probably good advice.
No offense if you have a kid named Jezebel. I'm
just saying. So like New Testament, it being a principality.
I don't know.
Well,
that's tough for me to say because I don't know enough. You know what I mean?
The stuff that I looked up about it is not that it's. It's just saying there's nothing to say that it actually is now. But if it carries the same agenda, if it's the same,
But that's why, for me, I say I'm not going to die on this. But at least for me, is why I do believe it is a principality because. Principalities manage things. Mm-hmm. And the principality of Jezebel, that agenda is that vibe. Mm-hmm. You know?
They would say it's not the spirit of Jezebel, but the Jezebel spirit.
Yes.
Completely separate things. Yeah. And I love how we
just like same mentality, same.
Yes.
Like.
But it's all about, honestly, both of them, sex and power.
Yes.
And so. Again, this guy was pointing to, he was saying, what we don't understand is that this, however you want to say it, this agenda is really more pushed right now by men.
Yeah.
And he pointed to Hollywood. And this is where it got into a conversation about pornography, power, and money. And so what did they do? They pushed the things that attracts men, but also women a lot, and that's sex. And so as soon as they started exploiting that, that's that spirit. It gave them power and money by exploiting a desire of human race. You know what I mean? So that's what he's talking about.
Yep.
But a lot of people think it's only about women. No, no, no.
They'll look at women and say, or, you know, and assign that to her if she has a certain, carries a certain authority or whatever.
Yeah.
I listened to that same thing you were talking about where he's talking about that a lot of times, like even if you see like women in ministry positions and you see men wrongly attribute her go-getter attitude towards ministry. Maybe she just hasn't refined it yet. She's just in sanctification, so hasn't refined how to be in power ministry, blah, blah, blah. And they'll just say that she has a Jezebel spirit and kind of counter out. And he's like, how much church hurt that's caused.
Yeah.
Too much,
but when really it's a lot of men who carry that Jezebel.
Through power and sex.
Yeah, that Jezebel spirit.
And
promoting it, yeah.
Your lack of, not you, but like that individual's lack of or let's just say passivity, feeling somewhat challenged from another woman who's been empowered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like that stuff is sometimes.
Which is a spirit, at least a mentality agenda of its own. I don't know. That's Brandon is, he was just listening to something on that where there's the Jezebel spirit and then the Ahab spirit, which is the passivity.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's for another day. Like we're getting late on here.
Yeah.
But this is a great conversation.
It is.
This was the longest letter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of stuff in here. And I just wonder why it's like progressively they're getting a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. And I read next week's too, or this week at this point. And it's another one. It's another doozy.
It's another doozy. Well, thank you guys for all you brought to the table today.
Thank you, Sally.
This conversation went really fast to me. So thank you guys. I'm trying to think on the spot. I should have written this down if we have anything crazy coming up. But mainly.
When does this comes out? Thursday. Mm-hmm. This weekend's the 14th.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mother's Day.
Oh, Mother's Day Sunday.
Think about the mothers in your life, guys.
Also. Also, the gathering.
The gathering on the 18th. The gathering's coming up May 18th.
It's 10 days.
It's 10 days away.
It's going to be special.
It is going to be really special. So,
you want a preview? One sentence preview?
Go.
For next week or this Sunday? I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead.
Oh. Boom, roasted.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's going to be a good one.
That's what I'm saying. That was the first sentence.
The Bible. Okay. Thank you, guys. We'll talk more about that next week.
It'll be lighthearted fun. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
See y'all.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Overflow Podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.